right, everyone take your Bible, please. Turn to Psalm 55, remain standing. Psalm 55, we're going to read verses 18 through 22 together. Folks, we'll read this passage responsively. For those of you that are new here, that means I'll read verse 18, you'll join me on 19. We'll alternate through the passage that way. Psalm 55, verses 18 through 22. Psalm 55, 18 through 22. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. And let's finish on verse 22 together. Ready? Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, today we have, as every Sunday, an assembly of people that will never be quite assembled ever together in history like today is. You have today planned. You have the message planned. You have given us the word. Father, please, may we get what you have for us today. Holy Spirit of God, would you focus our minds on the preaching of the word of God so that it may touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Psalm 55:19, I'm going to lift one little statement out. Today will be a very unique message. It's not what I would say a typical style of message that I preach. It's strange. I have been, my secretary can tell you, I showed her a file I have this week. I've probably got close to 100 sermons already outlined, ready to preach. Already ready. I picked this one out weeks ago for this Sunday on purpose. And I mean weeks ago. And then all the events of this week unfolded. I thought about not preaching it, and yet the Lord seemed to impress that it was the right thing to do. I want you to look at Psalm 55:19, just the last part of that. It says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. I'm going to preach a sermon today called, I Am So Confused. Now, we live in a world that is quite confusing. We live in a society that legally kills babies by the millions, but if we cut down a tree, we'll go to jail because it might hurt Spotty the owl. That doesn't make sense to me. We live in a society that has suicides by the tens of thousands as we teach positive mental attitude in our schools and colleges. In what sense does that make? Gangs fill our streets like rats, but people who knock on doors for the church are looked at as criminals. We have men trying to look and act like women, and we have women trying to look and act like men, and we think it's normal. We have adults trying to act like children, and we have children running the homes, and it's just quite confusing. We have let the weirdos of Hollywood become heroes. Now, folks, some of the most immoral, indecent, violent, wicked people in America are in Hollywood. I lived in Southern California for 2 years. I've met these people. I sat this close in a restaurant to Sylvester Stallone. He is as stupid in real life as he is in Rocky. Yeah. He is so spaced out on drugs and steroids, he has to have people tell him what to do next. You see, and they dress, they look like they got in a fight with a weed eater, a pop rivet gun, and a tattoo machine, and we make them heroes. That doesn't make sense to me. And yet, they look at Christians and say, boy, you're weird. Hello. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, we have metal detectors and armed guards in our schools. And yet spanking a child is illegal. Now, I'm glad I grew up in the generation I grew up in. When I went to school, if you got in trouble at school, mom and dad didn't call the school to find out why you got in trouble. You just got in trouble again. If you ever got whomped at school, you got whomped at home, and it didn't matter what you said. At least that's the way it was at my house. Okay? And he said, well, you'll warp a child's psyche. My daddy never called it a psyche, but he warped it more than once. Okay? He called it something else, and it took a licking and kept on ticking, amen? The Board of Education met with the seat of knowledge many a time. You see, listen to this. College campuses are filled with booze and alcoholics, of people who are not even legally old enough to drink. We live in a confusing generation. You have college presidents going to Congress as we speak, trying to lower the drinking age to the age of 18 so they don't have as much trouble with alcohol on their college campuses. We live in a confusing society. We have a press corps who shows every evil they can find and tell us how and why they did what they do, so that we can train more people to do evil. I don't understand why they have to tell the American people. By the way, you can go to any website on the internet and find any way you want to build a bomb. Well, that's called freedom of speech. That's called stupidity. We don't need to tell our generation, teach our people in America how to build a bomb. Everybody doing okay? Violence is such a way of life that killing means nothing to people anymore. Our society does not respect life. Period. I did some studying this week. I did some research. You might find that my numbers are off. I rounded numbers. I didn't give you exact numbers here. But we are close enough to where I think I can present it as a truth to you. We average over 16,000 murders in America annually. That's 44 murders a day. That's about one every 30 minutes. Somebody is murdered. But over 75,000 people die from alcohol-related deaths. You go from 44 a day being murdered to over 200 a day dying from alcohol. Almost five times as many people killed by alcohol as there is illegally by murder, and the government makes money off of alcohol and has made it legalized. Everybody doing okay? To me, that's confusing. Well, if you're an alcoholic, you have a disease. Well, it's the only disease you drink. Nobody goes out and drinks cancer. Nobody goes out and drinks leukemia. Nobody goes out and drinks the flu. If you are, you're weird. It's not a disease. It's sin. It's wrong. It's wickedness. Now, listen to me. 16,000 people are murdered. 26,000 are killed in DUI accidents every year. Almost twice as many people killed by people influenced by alcohol behind the wheel of a car than there are murdered, and only 11,000 of the 16,000 are done by a weapon, by a gun. And yet all guns are bad. Let's get rid of all of them. Why don't we get rid of the alcohol? We can cut death rate way down. By the way, I'm not for people using a gun on another person unless it's self-defense, unless it's our military. But the Second Amendment, just so you know, was not given for hunting. In the 1770s, the 1780s, the Second Amendment was not written for hunting. The liberal senators want to tell you, well, that's a military-style weapon. You don't need that for hunting. You're right. You might not need it for hunting, but the Second Amendment wasn't given for hunting. It was given because we had just come out of the tyranny of England, and it was for us to protect ourselves against our own government. We live in a world where right seems wrong and wrong seems right, and it's just so confusing. I believe that the Bible tells us why the world is confused today. I want to show you here from the Word of God why our world is so messed up. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible says in Psalm 55:19, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Four things I want to give you today. Number one, our nation refuses to have changes for God. Now there's a progression here, and I'll show you, but hang in there. The word change means to grow or to mature. It literally means to grow up or to mature. When I was born, all 7 pounds and whatever ounces of me, I've grown up and out since that day. I have matured. Now, I haven't grown a whole lot since about the time I was 15 this way. From about the time I was 15 on, I wear the same size length of pants as I have for probably close to over 30 years. Now, the other size has changed, and it's none of your business. But yours has changed, too. Don't give me that. Don't you just laugh at me. The word change means to grow or to mature. Do you know that I am still the same human being that was born from my mama back there 45, almost 46 years ago? I'm the same person, but I've changed into what I am today. Though I am the same person, I've grown, I've matured, I've changed hair colors, not on purpose, but by force. Don't have as much as I used to have, but thank God I still got some. There might be more of me in places where there not used to be, and less of me where there was. But guess what? I have changed into becoming an adult. Now listen to this statement very carefully. We live in a society here in America where the world refuses to grow up. We live in such an immature society, it's phenomenal. Let me show you what I mean. Live for the weekends. That's an immature statement. Those of you that are supervisors and bosses, and you have people that work under you, Friday is almost a wasted day because people are looking so forward to the weekend and playing that they don't work for you. How sick. And then Monday is a wasted day because they're still recovering from what they did over the weekend. You're lucky if you get 3 days out of them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say why? Because we live in a society where we've got to play. Everything is play. We've got adults that spend more time playing games than kids used to spend. We live in the computer age where some of you bosses have to ban internet and the telephones where the people work because they're playing games instead of working. How sad. I remember when I was 16 years old, I got a job delivering pizzas for a little Greek fella in my hometown. Started working in the kitchen, delivering pizzas. I remember what my dad said. He said, son, you're going to go work for somebody. You better, if he's going to hire you for 6 hours or 8 hours, you give him all 6 or 8 hours. If there's nothing to do, pick up a broom and sweep. And I don't care if you swept it 10 times already, sweep it again. But you keep yourself moving. I thank God I had a dad that understood what work meant. I thank God. You know, I never worried about moving up in a job. I just kept working. They moved me up. I found out the harder I worked, the luckier I got. Amazing. You know, I didn't have to face unemployment, not because of the down economy, but I know this, bosses are looking for anybody that's willing to work. Amen. Say why? Because I didn't live for the weekend, I lived to work. You know, I still live to work. I love to work. I average, you can ask my wife, I probably average 80 to 85 hours a week working. And I love it. I do. I'm not afraid of it. I live for this. Now, I like to play. I like golfing. I do it two or three times a year. Say why? When you golf as bad as I do, you can't handle too much more than that. I got to say this. My brother's been golfing for 25 years. My brother golfs a lot. I got some pictures sent to me this week. First picture was a picture of a golf ball in a hole, Brother Hollinger. I thought, that's weird. Next one was a picture of my brother kneeling over the hole, holding up the golf ball. I said, he got a hole in one, I'll bet you. Then the text came through, my first hole in one. I congratulated him. He said, yeah, it only took me 25 years, but I finally got one. My dad's going to turn 74 tomorrow. My brother is 49. I did some quick math in my head, and I said, guess what? You'll get your second one by the time your dad's age. At that rate, I kind of ragged him a little bit. He said, that's okay. How many of you had? I said, I haven't golfed like you have. I don't care. Now, wait a minute. We live in a world. I enjoy playing, but can I tell you this? I'd rather work than play. Now, when it's time to play, play hard. Play to win, amen? I'm for it. I enjoy hunting. I'm for it. I hunt to win, amen? But guess what? I don't live to hunt. There's something far more out there, and that means we live in such an immature society. Listen to me very carefully. I taught at the college level. I administrated at the college level for many years. The average college freshman in college today, and I don't care if it's secular or Bible college, is less mature than freshmen in high school were 30 years ago. Those of you that are my age or older, you know what I'm talking about. Good night. We have people that graduate from school that can't even read. How in the world did they graduate? I don't understand that. We live in a society to where everybody has to win. We don't want to offend anybody. I started playing baseball when I was, what, 4, 5 years old on teams? Probably 5. Guess what? I remember crying after ball games because we lost. That's what put in me a desire not to lose. Yes. Amen. Now, in the public sports, they don't even keep score because they don't want some child to cry because they lost a game. Lord have mercy. I don't understand that. Say, well, you're just mean-spirited. No, I'm a realist. There was a day when you said social programs and people cowered at it. Now they expect it. I'm not against taking care of the poor. I'm not against taking care of people that have need. But may I say something? We have created a dependent society on government. And that's wrong. We're losing our freedoms left and right because of it. The word change means to mature or fully ripen. We have young adults. We have babies having babies now. It used to be if a teenager in high school got pregnant, we called it getting in trouble. Now in the public schools, public high schools, they have nurseries for the children of the children going to high school. I shared this with our people a few months ago. There are, as of, I think, October or November of this past school year, there were 83 pregnant teenage girls at Martinsburg High School alone. There was a day when that was bad. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Now we have babies having babies. We have young adults who know how to have babies, but they don't know how to parent. Say why? Because mom and dad have been too busy to train their kids how to raise a family. The world wants to please the flesh, and they have slowed down the maturing process. When you go to pleasing the flesh more than pleasing what is right, you slow down the maturity process. Who wouldn't rather go play baseball than work? Who wouldn't rather go hunting or fishing than work? Amen? Who wouldn't rather go do something they, and I'll use the word, enjoy for pleasure? Who wouldn't rather go on vacation than go to work? But there are those of us that understand you earn the right to go on vacation. It's not a right. Man, I know people that take 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks of vacation every year. Then they get all these paid days off. It's a wonder you employers don't go bankrupt. You're lucky if you get about 2/3 work out of the employees you have. I mean that. We have reared a generation that doesn't know what hard work is. Man, what happened to getting up early before the sun comes up? By the way, it does come up slow. You know, it's not like a switch and, oh, it's up. Okay? For those of you that don't know that, it comes up real, real slow, real, real early, long before your alarm goes off. Okay? Some of you have seen it go down. It comes up at about the same speed, okay? Real slow, okay? Just in the other direction, okay? You say, well, we make fun of that. Guess what? It's true. I remember having to shovel snow. I grew up in northeastern Ohio. I remember having to shovel snow before I could get out to go to school in the morning. Some of y'all grew up on farms. You had to milk the cows and slop the hogs and do all that. You put a half day's work in before you went to school. Went to school and came home and did it all again. My wife was talking to her family yesterday. They live up where God doesn't live. They live up in northern Minnesota, okay? They're 12 miles from the Canadian border. They had 16 inches of snow this week and it was 8 below 0 yesterday. God bless them. Amen, fellas from Maine. They can have that mess. They're expecting another foot or more this week. I said, I just mowed my grass for the third time. And my mother-in-law said, shut up. Don't you tell me that. But, I remember not shoveling snow in April, but shoveling snow. I bought my first car when I was 16 years old. Can I tell you how? I mowed grass for $5 a yard and shoveled driveways for whatever they would pay me. For about 4 years, I mowed probably 3 to 5 acres of grass from all the different lawns that I would mow with push mowers, not self-propelled. Rake leaves, pull leaves out of gutters, shovel snow, you name it. I did whatever I could, scratched together enough money, and I bought my first car. Thank God my mom and dad taught me how to work. They just didn't give it to me. We used to have winners and losers. Now we just have losers. It used to be when you would ride a bike, you fell down and skinned yourself up. Now parents go to jail if the kid doesn't have a helmet, elbow pads, shoulder pads, knee pads, guards on their boots and everything else. And if they fall down and scrape themselves, parents could get accused of child abuse. Good night. If America saw what we did on bicycles, my mother would have a heart attack. I grew up in the days of Evel Knievel, and we played Evel Knievel on our bikes. I can't tell you how many times I busted tires and broke spokes and busted body parts and you name it. I have a scar right here from when I went over the handlebars of my bike in the air. My hand got caught in the chain, and it got stuck in the sprocket right there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been there. Some of you guys are like, oh, man, I remember how that felt. Thank God. Now, my parents probably would have been in jail still if they would have found that stuff out. They don't know this. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm old enough they can't punish me now. I might not get lunch, but here it goes. I grew up about 3/4 mile from a local mall called the Millette Mall. When you would pull up on there, they had a, you know, they got the big wide hallways. Well, they used to have those rent-a-cops there on the little orange carts, you know, we used to think it was fun to have a guy on one side open the door, a guy on the other side, and ride your bike through there and make sure they couldn't catch you. You did that? I did that. Actually, my brother did. I just held the door. You'd get real daring and see if you go down the long hallway and see if you could get a couple of them following you. Now, wait a minute. Kids, I don't advise you do that, all right? Not a good thing for you to do, but I did it. Did you ever get caught? No. I know people that did, and I didn't do it again because of how they got treated afterwards. They have no changes. They refuse to grow up. Number two, because they have no changes, the Bible says, they have no fear. Because they don't choose to grow up, they have no fear. Now, fear means terror, sudden alarm. Did you ever watch a child learn to walk and they finally get their feet under them? Guess what? They have no fear, do they? They'll walk right off the end of the steps and fall down the steps because they don't understand that hurts. They'd walk out in the middle of the street and get hit by a car because they don't understand there's danger out there. They have no fear of what's going on around them. Okay, listen to me very carefully. You show your immaturity by the amount of fear that controls you or that you do not have. I've used this before. I'll say it quickly. When my kids were growing up, I had one that just, you know, you had to be creative to get them to obey sometimes. I got so mad at that child one day. I said, do you remember the story of Jonah and the whale? Mm-hmm. I said, Jonah was a Baptist preacher that disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, they chunked him off the boat and a whale swallowed him up for 3 days and three nights. I said, son, if you don't obey, I said, I'm going to go out, open that door, and that whale's going to come get you. Man, he was scared to death. I used that thing for years. It was great. Finally, one day, he figured out whales don't come on their land. Amen. Couldn't use it anymore. Say, I can't believe you'd do that. It worked. He still doesn't like the story of Jonah and the whale either. He was afraid of that whale. You know, I'll show you what I mean. The immaturity, children often are afraid of storms. You know, it's not the lightning that scares them. It's the thunder. Guess what? Thunder can't hurt you. It's just noise. By the time you hear the thunder, it's too late. You're fine. Drive around and look at the bumper stickers that say, no fear. Look at the t-shirts that say, no fear. Say, what is that? Immaturity. No respect. We need to fear God that created hell as much as love the God that created heaven. My daddy sits in our church. I respect my dad. There's still things I would not do out of love and sometimes fear for my dad. There were things I did not do out of fear as a child because I knew dad was going to find out. Sometimes he found out and I didn't want him to, amen? And he instilled a fear in me. Now, I wasn't scared my dad was going to abuse me. He loved me enough to keep me straight. Loved me enough, you know, I can't tell you how many times I heard this statement. I'm going to paddle you. The paddling won't fix you, but might remind you not to do it the next time. And believe me, it reminded me. Folks, we live in the world that doesn't respect life. Take what happened in Boston. You have two young men that had no respect for human life. None. I don't understand that. But I do understand that we have murdered over 30 million babies since 1972. 30 million. We wonder why we're having a long and prolonged recession and that Social Security is going bankrupt. We have aborted ourselves into a bad economy. We have taken 30 million taxpayers out of the system. Moving on. Look at the television you watch. There's no respect for life. You watch a show for 30 or 60 minutes and the people are getting killed and murdered and this, that, and the other thing. Turn it to the next channel, the same people got up and got going on another show. And young people don't realize, look at what they play on video games. Folks, fighting is not a game. Street fighting and killing is not a game. I grew up with guns, okay? I understand guns. I understand gun safety. I didn't even let my kids hardly have water pistols because I didn't want them learning to point a gun at people. But my kids knew how to handle a real weapon. I think guns ought to be respected. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying a toy gun's a bad thing. It was when you got real guns in the house. I didn't want them to think that the real one was a toy one. Listen to me very carefully. You wonder what I'm talking about. Listen to the music of our society today. Listen to how vile, how filthy, how wicked, how rotten, and how violent it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The Bible says, because they have no changes or they refuse to mature, they have no fear. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, you need not turn there, I'll read it to you. There's another step to this. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because they refuse to change, they have no fear. And because they have no fear, the Bible says they have no wisdom. Folks, we have no fear of the Lord, and our society has no wisdom. Common sense is not common anymore. Can I tell you why common sense is not common anymore? Because we have a generation that refuses to change, to grow up. They've lost their fear of God, and because they've lost their fear of God, they have no wisdom. We have a generation that is as unwise as they come. Spend now, pay later. Doesn't work that way. Our government has lived by it to the point where we're $17 trillion in debt. $17 trillion divided by the 308 million people in America comes out to about $60,000 for every person in America in debt. When America and the world kicked God out of their school system and government, we lost our wisdom. 1960s, they took the Bible and prayer out of our public school system. Now we have armed guards. Now we have metal detectors. Now we have drug-sniffing dogs on a regular basis in our public school system. You didn't have that in the 1950s. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It was, if you didn't read and you didn't finish all your work and you didn't pass your classes, you got held back. Now, let's hurry everybody through and get them through so that we can take them to the next level and get more money. It used to be you rose and fell on your own merit. Now they grade on the curve. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see, it's amazing to me. When they took the Bible out and they took prayer out of the schools, guess what happened in the 1960s? That's when you raised the Vietnam generation that rebelled against the war, rebelled against their parents, and rebelled against the government. We raised the revolutionists of the 60s because there was no wisdom. Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Now you have people when they're interviewed in America that say this, what's wrong with socialism? Why should somebody have more than I have? If they have it, I should have the right to have it too. That's not what our forefathers said. Our forefathers said we're all created equal. That means we all have equal opportunity. It doesn't mean that we all reach everything equally. That's communism. Communism is take from the haves and give to the have-nots so that everybody lives at one level. I hate to tell you this, but your president is not for the middle class. He's for one class. There's a difference. Wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. We have a generation that doesn't even know who God is. Why would they want to see through his eyes? We wonder why people do what they do, and yet they don't have the wisdom to see because they don't fear God and because they don't change their life. They don't grow up. They have no wisdom. And lastly, and I must hurry, because there is no change, there's no maturity, they've lost their fear. Because they've lost their fear, there is no wisdom. Now watch this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7, and I'll read it to you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Here's the key. Because there is no change, because there is no fear, because there is no wisdom, we have a generation that doesn't understand. Now listen to me very carefully. Understanding is the ability to perceive why things are the way they are. The ability to see it in advance, understand it, assimilate it, and be able to reproduce it. Understanding is a byproduct of wisdom. Here's where we're all messed up in our society. You have to understand first, then get wisdom. That's secular psychology. Well, you need to teach your child all of the whys. No, they need to learn to listen. They need to learn to obey. They need to learn how to shut up and just do what they're supposed to do. And as they do that, they learn why they did what they did. That's called wisdom. Now, we have to go through a 30-minute program of how to do this and tell them why we're doing this and explain all of this so that they understand it all. Guess what? They're not going to understand it all. When Dad said, yeah, it was time to, yeah, amen. When my mom used my first, my middle, and my last name, I knew what that meant. You're dead meat. She didn't have to explain. I had understanding because of the fear, amen? When mom said, you just wait till your dad gets home. Mm-mm. This is not going to be a good day. Folks, our world wants understanding before they have wisdom. Our world, even in our classrooms, when wisdom says, Brother Hollinger, stand up. It required no thinking. He just did it. Have a seat. Brother Hollinger, sit down. I'm telling you, have a seat. That's our society today. Here's what they'll say. Why do I have to sit down? How come somebody else didn't have to sit down? Why do I have to sit down? See, I've been a teacher a long time. Or at home. Well, how come my brother or my sister didn't have to do that? Why do I have to do that? That famous statement that I still hear ringing in my ears from that man right there. Because I said so. That's all I needed. Folks, we live in a world that wants to understand everything before we get wisdom. God says, you grow up, you learn to fear God and respect people, respect life, respect society. You gain wisdom from that. Eventually, you'll learn wisdom. That wisdom gives you then the understanding to see things. Anybody that has children, you know what I'm talking about. Remember the first time your kid did something really, really stupid and you called your mom and dad and said, I'm sorry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Remember that first time those words came out of your mouth that you as a teenager said, I'll never tell my kids that. And all of a sudden it came out and you went, I can't believe I said that. That's called understanding. Y'all know what I'm saying? Man, there's, you know, those famous words. Close the door. You weren't born in a barn. Okay, I thought I'd never say that. Guess what? I've been saying it for 21 years. Turn the water off. You know why? Because I got to pay the stupid bill. I never understood that. I do now. Folks, understanding comes because of wisdom. You don't get wisdom because of understanding. Our society says we have to teach everybody all of the whys before you can do something. The average employer has to treat employees like five-year-olds to show them all the reasons why it's good for them to do it this way. They've got the OSHA regulations. They've got their all the other things that are on top of them. It doesn't matter why. If the boss says it, just do it. It didn't take me long to figure out when you work in a machine shop why you don't wear a ring on your hand. When I worked in a machine shop in college, we had lathes that were running and stuff. And I wasn't married, didn't have any rings or anything. But we had a guy in there that got his finger. And you weren't supposed to wear any jewelry when you're working on machinery. You were married, you took it off. Period. I didn't understand that. I thought it was unreasonable until I saw a guy reach in there, got his ring caught on the edge of a turret, and it ripped his finger and took all the meat right off his finger, nothing but a bone hanging there. I said, I understand that now. You see a guy pull his hand out of a machine, there's nothing but three bones right there going like that. Doesn't take long to figure out why. You see, people who blame the rules and authority have no wisdom or understanding. Well, it's all my mom and dad's fault. That's a bunch of garbage. Why don't you take responsibility for your life? Well, Mom, I got in trouble from the school today, but it was the teacher's fault. It wasn't mine. You ought to be glad you didn't live in my house. Because I'd have got double for blaming the teacher for what was my fault. Because that wasn't respectful. I remember one time, that man sitting right back there, I got mad at my boss one night because I found out somebody made more money than me. And I started complaining about what I was making. He probably didn't remember this. He said, son, you're the dummy that agreed to it. Don't you complain about it. He said, why don't you work harder than the other guy? Maybe you'll make what he's making or more. That's where we started. It got worse. He said, don't you ever complain to me about what your salary is. He said, you're the one that signed the paper saying you agreed to it. Quit complaining about it. He said, unless it said on that piece of paper you're getting a raise every so often, don't you ever ask for one. He said, you agreed to it. You stick with it. Thank God for that. I didn't understand it as 16, 17, 18 years old. As a man that's had many, many, many different employees over the years, I understand that. Can I tell you something? Your kids don't need to know why about everything. You know, that famous question of three-year-olds. Why? I understand they're inquisitive. And I think a good parent will explain as many whys as they can, but after they obey. Don't explain it before they obey. Make them obey and then explain why. Amen. I went to college. My parents never went to college. That doesn't mean anything. Just means it took me longer to get what they got in high school. Amen. But my dad one day, he said, son, I haven't been to college. He said, what's the biggest difference between high school and college? I said, high school, you learn all the facts. College, I learned why I learned all those facts. I got the knowledge, then I got the understanding. And I've spent the rest of my life trying to practice why I learned what I learned. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Our society is not confused because of God. It's confused because of our sin and us relying on ourselves. Why do people often say to me as a preacher, I just don't understand. Religion's so confusing to me. Why do people believe so many different things? Because they don't use that as the standard. If it's in there, you accept it. If it's not, don't worry about it. Period. And I'm not talking about one that man wrote. I'm talking about the one God wrote. Now you have man-made Bibles instead of God-written Bible. Well, there's so many versions. We're not getting into that. God is not the author of confusion. You know what? Really, the Christian life, it really isn't that hard. We complicate it because of our sin. We want our way, not his way. We want to do it with our methods, not his methods. This is an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church. Did you notice we don't have the wild hair, crazy drum set, electric guitar, rock band music in here? Because we don't want the world's music. We want God's music. Just because you put God's words to the devil's music doesn't make it right. I'm not mad at those people. It's just different. We believe in respecting God. He is the creator. He's the one that gave us everything we have. He deserves our respect. You're not going to find me move the pulpit out on Wednesday nights and sit on a chair with a turtleneck shirt and put our projector screen up and teach the word of God. I'm going to teach it just the way God said it from behind the pulpit that God said we ought to teach from behind. Now, are those people bad people? No, I didn't say that. But we've accepted it because that's what we want. When we started Grace Baptist Church, I didn't go through the neighborhoods and taking a census to find out what the neighborhood wanted in a church. As Brother Hiles used to say, this is military chow. You put your plate out there, we're flopping it on whether you want it or not. Say, why? Because that's the way God intended it. Well, you're arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm not politically minded. I'm not politically motivated. But we live in such a confused world, and I'll tell you why. Because we've kicked God out of our world. Oh, we need to take the Ten Commandments down from our courthouses because there needs to be separation of church and state. It doesn't say separation of church and state. They want separation of God and government. And contrary to what all the liberals tell you, America was founded on Christian principle. Justice is based on that book and God. And when we kick it out, we have no justice. People are confused about how they know for sure they're going to heaven. Churches teach you can join the church, and because you're part of the church, you go to heaven. God said you'll die and go to hell. You can join this church and die and go to hell. This church will not save you. Some people teach that you got to get in the water and be baptized. I believe in baptizing, but just because you were born in a garage doesn't make you a car. Folks, baptism is a picture. It's a symbol. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. Not a thing at all. The thief on the cross that trusted Jesus as a Savior, Jesus looked at him and said, this day thou shalt see me, or shalt be with me in paradise. Guess what? He didn't get baptized. Now listen to me very carefully. Salvation comes because you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You realize that because you are a sinner, and by the way, we're all sinners, including the guy talking to you right now. Because we're all sinners, there's a penalty on sin. That penalty is death. Proof you're a sinner, you're going to die. Proof I'm a sinner, I'm going to die. But there's something inside of me called my soul, and it's got to go forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And God says when you die in your sin, your soul will go to hell, because that's the penalty placed on Lucifer and the angels that sinned in heaven before man was created. God's justice requires man to go to hell, not because God chose it, but because we chose it as sinners. But guess what? He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us his very own son to come, be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, shed his blood on the cross and die, and 3 days, three nights later, get up out of that grave and conquer death for our salvation. By the way, he did it for us. He did not do it for the devil and his angels. God loves you that much. He loves you even more than he loved the angels. Say, well, how do I get it? Do I join the church? Nope. Do I get baptized? Nope. Do I live a good life? You couldn't live a good enough life, because you'd have to live as perfect as Jesus Christ. You get it because he paid for it for you. All you do is accept it by faith. See, that just sounds too easy. Yeah, because it's God's way, not man's way. Why did you try it God's way? Some of you live in a confused life since you become a Christian. You're part-time in the world, part-time at church, part-time in the world, part-time at church, and you're not sure which to listen to. Follow that book right there. Your life will get a whole lot simpler. Some of you are confused with how God's going to meet your needs. I can't always tell you how God does it, but he meets your needs. We live in such a confused world. Are you tired of the confusion? Then let's go to the one that started this whole thing called God. It's time to grow up. Time to change our life. Time to have respect and fear. Time to learn to look at life through God's ways, and then we'll get our understanding. Before we do any of this, you got a world that wants to understand it all. You got a news corps that wants to understand why two guys planted bombs and do all this, and they don't respect life. They have no wisdom, and they have no changes. You're not going to get understanding. Let's just do it God's way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'd ask that nobody would move. Just be still for a moment. We're close to being done. But I wonder if you would just look inside yourself for a moment. You would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Not 90, not 95, not even 99% sure. But I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you just raise your hand very quietly? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Many hands could not go up, and I appreciate your honesty. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but sometime I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there another? Is there another? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Is there another? In a moment, the music will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. When that takes place, it's called an invitation. We're going to invite you this way. Nobody will laugh at you. Matter of fact, this church would be proud of you. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, if you just make your way to the aisle, we'll have people here trained, take the Bible. In a matter of just a couple minutes, you'll know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't have to leave this property unsure of heaven. Maybe you've been saved. You need to be baptized. If you're over the age of 18, we can take care of it today. If not, we have a permission slip for you to take home for your mom and dad to sign so that we can, and that's fine. Maybe you've been coming and you would like to join our church. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come and use this altar and pray. You say, well, that would mean I'm a sinner. Join the crew. Just join the crew. We all need to mature. We need to stabilize people around us. To those 6 or 7 that raised your hand a moment ago, in just a second, the music will begin to play. I'd ask you, just make your way to the aisle. We'll have people here that could help you.